Amen. Well, if you missed it, the hymn was about giving thanks. And mums were in there as well. And thank you, young ladies, for singing this morning. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. And if you're not thankful this morning, I trust as we spend some time in God's Word this morning, you'll be encouraged to rejoice together. Why don't we open our Bibles as we look at Acts chapter 16. Thank you for being here this morning. Acts chapter 16. During Sunday morning services, we've been studying through the book of Acts. And we're going to jump forward a little bit as we see the salvation of a special lady mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Why don't we read verses 6 to 15 this morning? Acts chapter 16. If you'll follow along with me as I begin in verse 6, reading down to verse number 15. Now let me encourage you to pay attention to this wonderful story of salvation from Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavoured to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Notice verse 13. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which were sorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful verses in your word. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that, Lord, authored your word. And Lord, by divine inspiration, we have the very word of God this morning. Lord, we thank you that as we look into it, we can, Lord, be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. We thank you that the gospel can be very plainly known and seen, and that the graciousness and the greatness of your love is so evident, Lord, in these passages. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, get our attention this morning. Lord, keep us from distractions, Father. We pray that you keep us from thoughts that would, Lord, distract us. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open like Lydia of old, that you may do your work and your will and good pleasure in us this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, this morning as we open to Acts chapter 16, the Bible describes to us the incident of the first convert in Europe. And believe it or not, the first person to be saved in Europe was a woman. A woman by the name of Lydia. Here in Acts chapter 16, we're reminded that God does not put women down in the Bible, but in fact, he lifts up women in the Bible. The Bible is full of wonderful descriptions and wonderful lessons given to us by the example of women. Women have a great place of honor in the Bible. As you may know, and as I've often said, women were certainly the last at the cross, and they were also the first at the tomb. And God has elevated women to a place of honor in the Bible. The Bible says that a godly wife is a precious treasure to a husband, for who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. This morning we're going to look at a woman with a heart for God named Lydia. A woman with a heart for God. And as we look at her salvation this morning, the first thing I'd like us to see is that before Lydia had a heart for God, God had a heart for Lydia. You might say, Pastor, how do we know that? How do we know that God had a heart and a love for this woman named Lydia? Well, notice the first verses we read through in Acts chapter 16. Here is the Apostle Paul and his missionary team planning a new trip into Asia. They wanted to go into an area that they called Asia, what we would call Turkey, and the Holy Spirit prevented them from going there for a time. They would go there another time, but for this time, the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to go in that direction. That's not the direction I want you to go in. Why? Well, notice in verse 9, God gave Paul a vision in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. You see, God was redirecting these missionaries to go to another place. Not to go to what they knew as Asia, but to go now to what we know as Europe. God was redirecting these missionaries. They were going to cross the Aegean Sea and enter into a whole new area that we know as Europe, and a region that we know today as modern Greece. They wanted to go to Turkey. God said, no, I want you to go to Greece, as we know it in our geography today. Now, why would God do that? Why would he redirect these missionaries at this time, in this point, to another place? Well, I hope you've already seen the answer this morning. You see, there was a woman named Lydia who was seeking the Lord. Now, she may not have known all the details, but God did. And because she was seeking the Lord brought along some missionaries to share the wonderful message of salvation with her. Can you see, first of all, this morning, God's heart for Lydia? Lydia had no idea, perhaps, of the greatness of God's love for her. But God showed us his love and has shown us his love in his word this morning by showing us that he would cross the world, if you will, to reach one needy soul. He will send missionaries to those who are seeking the Lord. Isn't that an encouragement to us this morning? You know, many times the question is often asked when it comes to Christianity, perhaps by those who doubt and reject and disbelieve. What about those people in countries that have never heard? What about those people who have never heard the gospel? How does that work when it comes to Christianity? Well, my first question that I like to ask is this. What country are you talking about? What country are you talking about? Friends, I can tell you about a single female missionary that we personally know called Lilia Etty, ministering to the Alca Indians in Ecuador. And we receive her prayer letters as a family. And she tells us often of souls being saved right there in the jungles of Ecuador. We know of a missionary in Nepal, do we not? The Clouds that we support. We know of missionaries in Paraguay, the Ramos family. I know of a missionary in Zambia and his family, the Kaufmans. And that's just a few examples off the top of my head. You see, there are missionaries all around the world that remind us of the greatness of God's love. The greatness of his heart for the lost. To reach every soul in need of salvation. You see, God is on a rescue mission today. Why? Because of the greatness of his love. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, loved the souls of mankind, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God so loved the world. But don't miss it this morning. God is not a God of the masses. You know, religious organizations today love to have what they call a mass. They bring in a mass group of people and they proclaim that God is a God of the masses. No, he is the God of the individual. He sent these missionaries to Lydia. He has a heart for every lost soul, but that person doesn't get lost in the masses. No, that person is singled out by God. God works in their hearts individually. God works in their lives to bring them to salvation. And God is at work in the world, my friend, and God has a heart for you. Let me encourage you this morning. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot imagine the greatness of His love wherewith He has loved us. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us first. And that He gave His only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sin. But God commendeth His love toward us, Romans 5:8. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can go on and on and on and on, my friends. The entire Bible is a love story written to us of how we have sinned against God. And because of our sins, we are separated from God. We deserve His eternal punishment because He is holy. And we deserve the greatness of His wrath by being cast into the lake of fire. But in His love, despite our wickedness, He reached down and gave us the greatest gift that the world will ever know. The gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins. Once and for all, He shed His holy blood to pay for your sins and mine. And then on the third day, He rose again from the dead. But listen, just knowing these things does not lead to salvation. You know, many people know about Christianity. Many people could even tell you what the Bible says better than I can. But do you know what? Many people have never made the transition from their head to their heart. Do you know that you can pray a prayer to ask the Lord to save you from your head? Because you know it. Because you've been told it. Because maybe you grew up in church. But there's a great difference. In fact, the difference between heaven and hell is the space between your head and your heart. If you've never received Christ personally as your Savior from sin, once and for all from your heart, my friend, you are still in a dire, catastrophic condition this morning. And by the way, I don't need to tell you that. You already know it. You see, if God is knocking on your heart and you know it, and He's calling out to you to be saved, and He's calling out to you to receive Christ before it's too late, let me encourage you to see the love of God this morning. God's heart for you. Would you agree that's the first thing we see this morning? You can say amen. God crossed the world, if you will, to reach this one woman who was in need of salvation. Mothers, let me encourage you this morning. If you're a Christian this morning, mums, you know, a mum's job is never easy. And in the day in which we live, the Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. You may not receive the thankfulness and you may be unappreciated as a mother and as a grandmother. But let me assure you that you are never unappreciated by God. He has a heart for those who are lost. He has a heart for those who deserve to be honored. For mums. You know, every time, Mum, you sacrifice, every time you do what's right according to His word, every time you trust God by faith for Him to provide, every time you set a godly example in the home, let me encourage you that God's heart is delighted by your faithfulness, by simply honoring Him in the little things that you do. You know, God has a heart for us. What a wonderful example we see in these passages. God's heart for Lydia. Well, notice secondly here in these wonderful verses, not only do we see God's heart for Lydia, we see Lydia's heart for God. Look with me, please, in verse number 13. Now, as these missionaries obeyed God and went to where God wanted them to be, verse 13 tells us, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So the Bible tells us that the missionaries, the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, they arrived in the city of Philippi. And And as they travelled, and on the Sabbath day went to the river, we find that there were a group of women praying by the riverside. Now, in order to start a synagogue in a place, there needed to be at least 10 Jews present, 10 male Jews. Now, obviously, in this place, there wasn't a synagogue. Remember, Paul, as he always did, where did he go first of all? He went to the synagogue. That's where the Jews were. He went first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Now, there was no synagogue here, but what did they find instead? They found some women praying by the riverside. They found some women seeking God. Now, we don't know whether Lydia was a Jewish woman or whether she was a Gentile. We are not told exactly, but what we do know was that Lydia was a God-fearing woman. Now, remember, she wasn't a Christian at this point. The reason why God sent Paul and the missionary team to Philippi was to reach those who were not saved yet. But notice something about Lydia. She was a woman that was seeking. Though she wasn't saved, she was seeking. Now, interestingly, the Bible tells us a little bit about Lydia's background. And by the way, that's not by chance. Notice what the Bible says. Lydia in verse 14 is a certain woman who is described as a seller of what? A seller of purple. Do you realize God didn't need to tell us that? Didn't need to tell us a thing. He could have just mentioned the name Lydia. But he specifically revealed to us that she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, this is interesting. Thyatira was a city in Asia. Remember how the Lord told them not to go that way? Well, that's where she was from. What a wonderful reminder again of God's love for the lost. Now, go to Philippi, go to Europe. And in Thyatira, it was a city that was famous for its commerce. It was known especially for the dyes that were produced there. Now, they manufactured a very, very expensive purple dye that was used by royalty and the wealthy of that time. Now, the remarkable purple dye was made from the secretion of a snail. Now, it was a very, 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 very expensive dye. Think about the most expensive brand label in the world today. You know, ladies, you know those Gucci handbags that you see in the windows of shops? They pale in comparison to the luxuriousness and the expense of this rich purple dye. One of the reasons why it was most expensive, because thousands of snails had to be crushed in order to produce a small amount of that purple dye. It was a very painstaking procedure to process this dye. Now, the Roman writer Vitruvius stated that Tyrian purple exceeded all colours in costliness and superiority because of its delightful effect. And the purple silk was the finest fabric available. People who wore those garments were usually royalty. In fact, the official Roman toga within the Roman colonies were coloured by this special dye. If you've ever seen a picture of a Roman wearing a purple sash or a purple toga, it was a clear declaration of that person's importance within society. This was the most luxurious item. This was the most sought after fabric. What's my point? Well, it's this. Listen carefully. Lydia was not a poor woman sitting by the river with nothing else to do and nowhere else to grow, looking for a crutch for her life called Christianity. No, she was a wealthy businesswoman. She was rich. She had her own home, which we'll see later on, and her own servants. She could probably buy anything she wanted. She could be draped in her own purple luxurious fabric just to show everyone around her how wealthy and how well off she is and elevate her standing in society. But I want you to see very carefully this morning Lydia's heart for God. Lydia was a woman who, though she had riches, who, though she had material wealth, still was seeking after God. Can you see that this morning? She was by the river, there in Acts chapter 16, worshipping, praying, and her heart was open to the Lord. You see, she was a woman that was seeking God and not riches. Lydia knew deep down in her heart that there was a God-shaped vacuum in the middle of her heart that no riches, no pleasure, nothing this world could offer could fill. It is a God-shaped hole, you see, my friends. And that hole can never be filled by anything else but Jesus Christ as Savior. Lady, if you can go chasing after the riches of the world, you can come back scarred and distraught and in agony for the loss of those years of not finding God because of one day realizing that riches cannot provide happiness. Riches cannot fulfill. Wealth and pleasure and experiences cannot give satisfaction. It's like the pot at the end of a rainbow, my pastor used to say. The more you chase after that pot, guess what? And I've been there. The further it goes. And you keep running. You put in more effort. You put in more diligence. You put in more study. You put in more work. You save up more money. But that pot's further away. And by the time you think you get it, it's not what it seemed to be. I wonder if Lydia came to the point where she worked out, hey, I've got everything that I wanted. Wealth, comfort, and I'm not satisfied. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever gotten to that point? Or are you still seeking satisfaction in the things of this world, ladies? Have you gotten to the point where you realize that you need to find out who God is? Well, friends, God has a heart for you. Lydia had a heart for God. Lydia had a heart for God. You see, she wasn't down by the riverside with a little market stall looking to make a buck, looking to make a sale, was she? No, she wasn't. And ladies, listen carefully. She wasn't down by the riverside looking for some men. She wasn't down by the riverside going, hey, I need a husband. That's what's going to make me happy. That's the person that will fulfill my life. No, she wasn't looking for another man. She wasn't looking for a relationship with a man. No, she was looking for a relationship with the living God. What was she doing? Well, she was doing all that she knew to do. She was worshipping. She was seeking. She was praying. And guess what? God sent along some missionaries. God sent along some missionaries. And as they came to Lydia, the Bible says in verse 14, notice what the Bible says carefully halfway through, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Friends, salvation is a supernatural work of God. Even if you and I are seeking God, God is the one who must open our hearts. That's how desperately wicked and dead in our sins and trespasses we are before salvation. God must open the heart. And because Lydia was willing to seek God, God opened her heart. He opened her heart right up. So that when Paul shared the gospel, do you know what her response was? It wasn't, I don't want this. It wasn't, I need more time to think about it. It wasn't, look, I need to make a few more million and then maybe I'll think about this person called God and Jesus Christ. Or, I want to worship God my own way. I don't know about this Christ, Jesus that you're mentioning right now about the death, burial and resurrection. I'm just happy to pray and look religious. No, her heart was open to God's message of salvation. Can you see that this morning? Whose heart the Lord opened. And the Bible tells us that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. Well, what did Paul say to her? How do we know? Well, we're not told in these verses, but back up with me in verse number 10. Verse number 10. After Paul saw the vision, they were assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the what? Can you see the word gospel there this morning in verse 10? How do we know what the Apostle Paul and his missionary team told Lydia? Well, we're told here in verse 10. They preached the gospel. They went by the riverside. They saw these ladies that were praying, that were seeking God. No, they weren't saved. They weren't Christians. They were still lost. And they came to them and they told them, "Hey, ladies, did you know that the Savior has come? Did you know that the Messiah has come into the world? Did you know that Christ Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins in full? And that He was buried and He rose again from the third day according to the Scriptures? And that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They declared the gospel, the message of salvation. And Lydia didn't reject it. She didn't think about it. She didn't stop and say, "Yes, 10 years later." No, her heart was opened by the Lord. And she said, "I need a Savior." She said, "I'm lost. I might have everything the world could offer, but I have nothing to offer God. All I can offer God is my sin. That's the greatest thing that I can offer, the wretchedness of my sin." And she lifted that up to Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that she hearkened. She listened to every word that they said. And she believed. She called out to the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. On that day, in that very moment by the riverside, and she received the gift of eternal life once and for all. Friend, what a wonderful glimpse into the heart of God for the lost. You see, the question isn't, "Does God love me?" Friends, that question is, That's already been covered. If you doubt whether God loves you, you're not listening to what He's saying this morning. You're listening to your feelings, your circumstances. No, God's love rises above everything in our lives and is shed abroad in our hearts once we are saved. Once we receive Him as Savior. His love is very evident, even this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ the Savior, in His love, He has brought you to this very place. Do you realize that? He's brought you right here. There's no coincidences here at Coastline Baptist Church. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you die right now and you're not 100% sure, your sins are completely forgiven, covered by the blood of Christ, in His love, He's brought you here to hear about this lady, Lydia. Not only to show you how much God loves the individual, but how much He wants you to be saved. But the question is your heart open to the Lord? Is your heart open? Are you willing for God to open up your heart this morning? Are you willing for God to remove those stones of unbelief? Those stones of rebellion? Those stones of selfishness? Those stones of covetousness for wealth and pleasure of this world. Are you going to allow God to take all those things away and then come to the Lord with open arms and say, "Lord, I need you to save me today"? Friends, today is the day of salvation. If God is calling out to you, today is the day of salvation. Lydia knew that. And she made the choice to receive Christ as her Savior. How do we know? Well, notice verse 15. The Bible says, and when she was what? Baptized. Baptized. The Bible says that she was baptized. Was she baptized right there at the river? Maybe she was. But the Bible tells us very clearly she was baptized. What is baptism? Baptism is not the forgiveness of sins. If you read the record of the Ethiopian eunuch later on by Philip, as Philip witnesses to the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized? Is anything stopping me from being baptized?" Philip says to the eunuch, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." First, we must believe in Jesus Christ for salvation. First, we must receive Him as our personal Savior. That's eternal life. That's forgiveness. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. From all our iniquities and sins. Now, what is baptism? Baptism is a picture of what Christ does at salvation. We are buried with Him. We rise to new life in Christ at the moment of salvation. That's what baptism is a picture of. It's a public declaration of what Jesus Christ has already done for us at the moment of salvation. So So how do we know Lydia was saved? Because she was baptized. She had already received Christ. Friends, she opened her heart to the Lord. The Lord opened her heart for the gospel, and she was saved. What about you this morning? Are you sure about your salvation? Ladies, what are you chasing? If you're chasing something other than Jesus Christ as Savior, you will come to a dead end. And it is a catastrophic end. Death and hell, the book of the Revelation tells us, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friend, if your name is not written down in the book of life because you've never received Christ as Savior, there is a hopeless end. You might have hope in the riches of this world right now or in the pleasures of this world, but that is a false hope that ends in a hopeless end. Thankfully for Lydia, her course and direction changed in an instant, in a moment of time when she personally received Christ. Pastor, you're harping on about this gospel. Well, that's because I dare say that there are some here this morning that need to receive Christ as Savior, that need to truly be born again, that need to cry out to the Lord like Lydia and let everything go and come to Christ today. If that is you, please make it known this morning. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be sure of knowing Christ as your Savior. Now, you see, Lydia was a woman with a heart for God. If you are a Christian today, mums, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you to be like Lydia. You know, notice what the Bible tells us here in verse 15. Have I still got your attention this morning? Okay, we're nearing the end. Notice verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, and when she was baptized and her... Say that again.
Household.
Hang on a second. You mean Lydia put her faith in Christ and to declare her faith to others, she was baptized. And following that, her entire household was baptized too? Yes. You see, he was a woman who upon receiving Christ as Savior wasn't ashamed of her faith. She was baptized in front of everybody she knew. And then she went and she told her household if they weren't there by the river. She told her servants. She told her family. She told the people she lived with about what Christ had done for her. And guess what? The Bible says her household also was baptized. What does that therefore conclude? That her household must have trusted in Jesus Christ the Savior also. Would you agree?
Yes.
They believed and therefore they were baptized. Paul would never have baptized anyone that did not believe first. Baptism is not salvation. It is the testimony and evidence of salvation. You see, Lydia was not ashamed of the gospel. Ladies, if you are a Christian, let me encourage you, the best gift that you can give to your children, the best gift that you can give to your loved ones, your families, your neighbors, is to be like Lydia and to tell them what Christ has done for you. The best gift that you can be is an example of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what Lydia was. That's what she was. And by the way, she didn't have to go through a 1-year discipleship course in order to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Amen. She didn't. It was in her. She told everyone the best as she knew how what Christ had done for her. And as a result, her whole household was saved. What an amazing testimony. You know, Mother's Day is always a special day for me because that was the day that this lost sinner that you know as your pastor was at home in Canberra. And at midnight before Mother's Day, my mum said to me, James, are you really a Christian? And I said to her, like I told everyone else in church in Sydney, hey, I pray every day. I pray to Mary in the morning. I pray to Jesus at night. And I'm sure that's enough to get me to heaven. Hey, I believe in Jesus. You know what she told me? She said, James, you know the Bible tells us that even the devils believe and tremble? That's actually in the book of James. And then I started to tremble. I started to realize that even the devil knows the facts. Even the demons of this world know what's written in the Bible. They have head knowledge, but not in the heart. And I realized that all that I knew so far as a so-called believer was up here. I'd never once in my life chosen to personally receive Christ as my Savior. And it was on Mother's Day at midnight. On the 7th of May 2005. That I repented of my sin and cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ not to take me to heaven. I'd said that every day. I asked Him to be my personal Saviour from sin once and for all. I claimed it as my Saviour, as His atoning blood for my sins once and for all. And I cried out to Him in repentance and faith and trusted in His finished work on the cross to save me once and for all. And that was the day of my salvation. And I share that not to talk about me, but to thank my mum, who was willing and who was bold enough to say, James, you're not saved. Mums, maybe you need to say that to some of your children this morning. Listen, I love you enough to tell you you're not saved. I can see by the way you're living. I can see you've just prayed a prayer. That's all it was. I can see by the way you're treating me, perhaps as a mum, you are not saved. That's a mother's love. To be willing to be bold enough to tell that to a child so that they can come to Jesus Christ, the Saviour. A mother's love is a mother who continues to be a good testimony, to continue to come to church, even though she may be persecuted by her family. Just like Lydia, perhaps, who had a wealthy business, who was on the cusp of losing it all. Losing all her money because now she was a Christian and she wouldn't bow down to Rome, so she wouldn't be a part of the Roman trade union guilds to keep her in the workforce and in the union of the businesses that she had accompanied in her work. Perhaps she lost it all, my friends, but she wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Mums, are you willing to lose your reputation in the world for the sake of winning some? Perhaps in your own family. Well, that was Lydia. Well, lastly, notice we've seen God's heart for Lydia. Lydia's heart for God. Notice Lydia's heart for others. Verse 15. You know, she wasn't finished. The Bible tells us in verse 15, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. The word besought in verse number 15, it means to call near. In fact, it means comfort. Do you realize the same word is used for the Holy Spirit to describe the Holy Spirit of God? Lydia was a woman filled with the Spirit of God now that she was saved. And what did she do? Well, she basically did not take no for an answer. She said to Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke, if you have seen that we are faithful, I want you to come and stay at my place. I want to welcome you and this missionary team in, and I want to look after you now because of what you've done for me. Thank you for bringing me the gospel. The Bible tells us that Lydia was not only a believer, but she was a loving believer. She was a compassionate believer. That's who this woman was, with a heart for God. She constrained them. The word constrained means to force. Her desire to be a blessing was genuine. You know, in different cultures, as I've come to know, that when you visit them and they say, hey, come on in, do you want to join us for a meal? They don't really mean that. They're saying that as a matter of politeness. I'm not saying that about anyone in this room tonight, this morning. But they say that as a matter of politeness. That come and join us, but really, they don't want you to come in. And it's upon you to do the polite thing to say, no, thank you. That's fine. Because they don't really have a chair put out for you. They don't have food prepared for you. But they're doing the polite thing to invite you in. Now, maybe some of us have done that before. You want to do the polite thing to say, hey, come on in. But really, in your heart of hearts, you don't want them to come. The house is a bit messy and, you know, you just don't have enough food. And they came unexpectedly. But, you know, Lydia, because she had a heart for others, it's very obvious that she wasn't making this up. She didn't take no for an answer. She literally begged them to come to her home. Why? Because she wanted to be a blessing. Amen? Ladies, let me encourage you this morning. to make your home a blessing to fellow believers. Make your home a place where believers are not only welcome, but a place where you welcome them. Amen. Lydia wasn't going to take no for an answer. She wanted to be a blessing. She wanted to be faithful to the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Christian, have you ever had someone in your home other than your own family? Have you ever opened your home up to others in the church and said, hey, I want you to come over. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement to you. Ladies, you can be that encouragement. You can be that encouragement. And by the way, we've got missionaries passing through our church all the time. What an encouragement it must have been to these weary missionaries who are just following the will of God, who are about to be beaten in the following verses for their faith. And before that happened, they were refreshed, encouraged, fed, given some loving hospitality, some Christian hospitality. That would have encouraged them. Let me encourage you, brethren. Love the missionaries that come through. Amen. After we're gone, love the missionaries that come through for their service to the Lord, for what they're doing for God, taking the gospel to the lost. You can open up your home. Hey, let's not have a home where we have to prepare a day or two to hide all the little things that we don't want other Christians to see in order to invite them over. I've got a one-step solution to that problem. Get rid of that stuff. Amen. Chuck those DVDs away. Amen. Chuck that worldly music away. Make your home a home that honors God. And guess what? God will honor you like Lydia. Written in an eternal word of God. Because she wanted to be a blessing. She wanted to be a blessing. All right, let's close with Acts chapter 16 and verse 40. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 40. Some of you may know the account of Paul and Silas in jail. As they led the Philippian jailer to the Lord, that wasn't before that they were beaten. That wasn't before they were persecuted. No, they were beaten, they were persecuted, they were thrown in jail. And as God miraculously delivered them, notice verse number 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of, say it with me this morning, Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Now look up here this morning. Lydia had a heart for others as a Christian. Once she was saved, she had a heart for others. Her home was a refuge from the world, for missionaries, for fellow brethren. It was a place where God's people could come and fellowship. Whether we have a big house, whether we have a small house, we can all open our homes to others to show Christian love. Let me encourage you to be challenged by the example of Lydia. What's the first challenge? Well, God's heart for Lydia. Friend, God has a heart for you. So often we're discouraged. Why? Because we're looking at ourselves in our own reflection. Look close enough. There's enough to discourage you there. The reason why you're discouraged perhaps this morning, because you are looking at yourself through your own eyes, not through God's eyes. Friend, yes, God is holy, but the greatness of His love wherewith He has loved us ought to cause you to have joy unspeakable. If you've not received Christ as your personal Saviour, that means you haven't received the love of God in Christ Jesus. Let me encourage you to receive His love this morning by calling out to Him today. God's heart for you. What about Lydia's heart for God? Is your heart open to the Lord this morning? Ladies, are you willing to show God's love for you in your everyday life by telling your family about the Lord, being a witness? What about having a heart for others? Allowing our home and our lives to be a testimony for God. Well, those are the few lessons we learned from the life of Lydia. I trust they've been a challenge and a blessing to you. And as God brings refreshing rain, has He poured out anything into your heart this morning? Is your heart closed? Is the ground dry? Is it hardened? Well, you need to allow God to open it this morning. Then He will pour in refreshing rain. Then He will pour in His salvation. Then He will pour in Christian revival. Amen. To break up the fallow ground. Is your heart open this morning? Whoever you may be, to what God wants to do.